told of a rich man, a popular member of the leadership of the local religious group, who had the opportunity to welcome the latest influencer of his day to his house. As it would be even today, it was a big thing, and the other man invited other well-to-do, rich, respected people along. He put on a big show with food and drink. It was definitely by invitation only. It was definitely formal wear only. But Simon forgot his manners. He didn't even give his guest the most basic respect of washing his feet before drawing him to the table. He sat his guest down to this banquet with his carefully chosen dinner plan, with himself as the main man. The attention was on him and the luxury as well. It was an amazing meal. Everyone was delighted to be there. That was until this woman appeared. One minute, they're reclining at the table with Simon, the hostess with the mostess, and then the nightmare began. Who let this woman in? Simon didn't know who to get angry with first, the woman or the servant who let her in. Before anyone can stop her, this sinful woman, and make no mistake, that was exactly how she was known, and she was very well known in the town, that sinful woman was standing by Jesus, by Simon's guest, crying. Her tears are falling on Jesus' feet, not just one or two tears, this woman's jolly well sobbing over him. Simon's mouth drops open as he then watches this woman begin to wipe her tears away with her hair. Now she's kissing his feet. And now what is she doing? She's pouring perfume on his feet. Simon's embarrassment is fast turning into anger. This woman, what is going on? He's immediately judging her. And then he starts to think about Jesus. If this man were really a prophet like he says he is, then he'd know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner. Simon, what a mistake. He didn't realize that Jesus could see into his heart. He didn't realize that Jesus knew what he was thinking. Jesus doesn't immediately pull him up over his thoughts, but instead he tells him a story which we hear about in Luke chapter 7, verse 41. It says this: two people owed money, said Jesus, to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had any money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose it's the one who had the bigger debt. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her love, great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Simon, this well-respected, very rich religious leader had invited Jesus to be his guest, but he'd completely admitted to give Jesus even the most basic courtesies. There'd been no kiss of greeting, there'd been no washing the feet, there'd been no oil for his head. Put in today's terms, no one opened the door for Jesus. They didn't take his coat, they didn't shake his hand or see him to a seat. Simon vowed to welcome Jesus as his guest. In contrast, the woman does. Do you notice that we aren't even told her name in this story? We're just given a description of her widely known reputation, a sinner, most likely a prostitute. She was most certainly not on the guest list for the evening. Can you imagine such a woman turning up to the church leader's Christmas party at the manse down the road? Can you imagine the startlement of everybody there? Can you imagine faces blushing and people feeling awkward? Is this someone that the pastors know? Is she a regular to this house? What do we do? And that kind of encouraging her, diverting her to more of a suitable location. This woman would have known what kind of reception she was likely to receive when she entered Simon's house, but it didn't stop her. She knew that they wouldn't want her there. She knew far too well what people thought of her, but it wasn't for them that she'd come. She'd come to see Jesus. Jesus was the reason that she was there, the reason that she was unable to hold back her tears. She'd heard about his teaching. She knew that he was perhaps the one and only person in the world who would look past her outward appearance, who wouldn't get fixated on her past, who wasn't judging her. He was the only one who really knew her and knew her heart. Every action she took was full of meaning as she knelt at her Saviour's feet. Every tear that she cried was filled with utter gratitude before him. Wiping his feet with her hair, she did as a demonstration that with every ounce of her being, she was humble, she was intense, she was a complete love and thankfulness of her Saviour. Her overwhelming desire to serve him, to offer care, to love him back because he had given to her an incomprehensible gift of love from God. She wanted to thank him for his acceptance of her, for his forgiveness of her. Maybe, just maybe, it's the first time in her life that anybody had really loved her, that anybody had respected her. Maybe it's the first time that she'd ever felt accepted. I wonder what the difference is between Simon and this woman. Certainly education, respectability, money fall into Simon's camp. He seems to have got it all, doesn't he? He was the one that people wanted to be with. He was the religious leader that people looked up to. He had power in his role. He knew the scriptures and what God spoke about in the word. She had none of these things on her side. She probably had no education. It was likely that she had little money. And certainly there wasn't a soul in the world who gave her any respect. She was judged. She was looked down upon. She was an utter outcast to everybody in her community. Yet the differences go so much further. Simon forgot his manners when he received Jesus into his home. He was far less welcoming, wasn't he? And his inner thoughts when seeing this woman were immediately harsh. They were critical. They were judgmental. Hers, on the other hand, were the opposite. Somehow, we don't know how, we aren't told the story, but this woman had experienced the love of God. And so as we heard Jesus explain to Simon what the difference was, in verse 47 of Luke, he said, "Whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Today, we're looking at Romans chapter 13. And I want us to focus this Mothering Sunday on just a couple of verses from Romans 13, verses 8 to 10, which say this: "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there might be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law." The difference between Simon and the woman in Luke was love. The woman had experienced God's incredible, breathtaking, life-changing love. She knew that love. She knew that God forgave her. She knew that God had poured his grace over her. She knew that God loved and accepted her. Simon, he had all the education. He knew the scriptures. He taught the scriptures in the temple, for goodness sake, but it wouldn't seem that he had experienced much of God's love. He didn't realize his need for God, did he? In the same way. Yes, he believed in him, but he didn't appreciate his need of God. He wasn't particularly aware even of his need of God's forgiveness. After all, he was a good man. As we celebrate Mothering Sunday today, it's a tricky one to navigate. It's full of so many emotions for different people. And for many people, it's mixed emotions. Some are so painful that we can't share them. Some are so wonderful that we're scared to share them. In case we... Is that my mic? Is it? Do I need to change? Shall I change here? It's a little distracting. Let's get rid of that one. There we go. Excuse the wire, everybody. Mothering Sunday is a hard one, isn't it, to navigate? Because for some it is just heartbreak and sorrow and pain. For others, it's one which is just absolute joy and fulfillment and delight and answered prayer. It's a complex day, and it's a tricky one for us to preach on, really, as ministers, except that today I've reached Romans 13. And here we find the words that each one of us need to hear to love one another, to love each other as we love ourselves. They're powerful words, aren't they? Love others as you love yourself. I wonder how much Simon loved himself. Quite a lot, I should think, by what we know of him. He was doing well for himself, wasn't he, by all estimations? He was rich. He was educated. He had a good job. People looked up to him. He was a leader of many people. From the outside, and probably on his inside, he felt pretty good about himself. He'd made it. He was proud of how he was living, of what he'd achieved. As someone who loved himself, surely he should therefore have plenty of love to pass on to others. His well was surely deep, so it should have been easy for him, shouldn't it, to love other people? He loved himself a lot. Surely he's got a lot of love to give. On the other hand, you can't help but wonder about the woman. What did those words mean to her, to love others as you love yourself? Did she love herself? Was she proud of the way she was living? Was she proud of what she'd achieved in life? Had she achieved anything at all in her life? Did anyone really love her? I wonder if she even loved herself. What would loving your neighbour as you love yourself look like for her when her self-esteem, her self-worth was so very rock bottom? And yet when we read this story, we discover she's the one who's got love to give. This unnamed woman pours out her love on Jesus. This one woman whose life had been horrendous is the one who demonstrates utter love and costly sacrifice. She doesn't care about what other people around her think. Well, she knows what they think. She doesn't care about what they think about what she's doing. She needs to do it because she wants to express her love to Jesus. Whereas Simon, on the other hand, he's the one who seems to have so much more love to give. He really does love himself, and other people love him. But he's the one who turns out to be seriously lacking. He lacks in love towards Jesus as he receives him into his home. He lacks in love towards the woman as he instantly judges her. He shudders in disbelief that she's in his house amongst his prestigious guests. And instead of loving her, he condemns her in his heart. And then in response to her actions towards Jesus, he turns his mental judgment on the King of love himself. Love your neighbour as you love yourself.
Simon would seem to have had more opportunity than most of loving himself, and therefore would expect him to have more love to give to others. But he has absolutely none to share, does he? The woman who had so little reason to love herself, she is the one who has so much love to give. How come? How can these two people be so very, very different? One who is so impoverished has the most. The one who's rich and wealthy seems to have the least. Why? Jesus told us, didn't he? We read it again, that verse in verse 47. Whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. If we've never received this love of God, or if we've forgotten what that feels like, then we have little to offer to others around us. We might try. We might work really hard on loving other people and helping others, of trying to put other people first. We might do a great job for a while, but gradually it becomes harder. So we try harder because we're that kind of person. We want to try. We're going to give it a go. I'm going to be nicer to people. I'm going to try and forgive them. I'm going to try and be a bit more patient. But like Simon, we might open a door, but it's little more than a social gesture. To really love like that woman loved Jesus, we first need to know and experience the love of God for ourselves, to really know it. To experience the love of God daily as we meet with him through his word, through prayer, through our quiet times, through worship, through being together. This is the step that so quickly and easily is forgotten, isn't it, in our day-to-day lives. We try to love others from our own strength, but it's not enough because we haven't allowed ourselves to be transformed by God's love and his forgiveness, his patience with us, his goodness. Because when we are, it's then and only then that we can really begin to love others as we love ourselves. So this morning, Mothering Sunday, a Sunday when true, deep love is celebrated, when we're encouraged not only to experience that love, but also to share it in return. We might not be mothers sitting here. We might have always wanted to be a mother and it's never happened, or a parent. But Mothering Sunday, it's about being a person who cares for those around us, who can love those around us, who can watch over one another. We're invited by Christ himself this morning to know that we are his dearly loved children. Do you know that this morning? You are so very loved. You are special. Do you really know that today? It might be something that you've known in the past, but we're like buckets with holes in them. There's a book that I used to read with Jemima about a bucket with holes. I think Alison might have given it to us. And how our love can flow out and bless others around us. But we need it refilled every day. Isn't that a great picture of us and the Holy Spirit? You know, we are people who are not perfect. But some of our holes can let out God's love to touch the world around us and to bless others. But unless we ourselves are stopping and spending time with our God and knowing him daily in our hearts and our lives, that bucket doesn't get topped up. We need to keep getting topped up by the Holy Spirit, by spending time with God so that we can love others. God's just waiting to bless us, to forgive us. And as we know his forgiveness, as we know him healing our hurts, then we can start that process of being the healers in our community too. Sometimes those pains are deep, aren't they, in our lives, if we're honest. And it's really hard to even want to forgive somebody who's hurt us, particularly if they've been close. But God forgives us, and we need to forgive one another. Forgiveness, not just for yesterday, forgiveness for today, forgiveness for every day. Asking Jesus to cleanse us by his blood. And it's by experiencing this forgiveness ourselves that we can learn that actually, yeah, we can forgive others too. Because if we can't forgive someone, we can't truly love them either, can we? Knowing God's forgiveness, allowing that to permeate our hearts deeply, so that we can forgive perhaps someone who doesn't deserve to be forgiven. But God calls us to forgive as we've been forgiven. We don't deserve God's forgiveness, do we, if we're honest? But God blesses us with that incredible gift of grace, complete forgiveness. Alone, we can't even attempt to really love our neighbour as we love ourselves. It's often shallow. We soon dry out. We run out of steam. But once we've experienced God's phenomenal life, love in our lives, it transforms us completely. And in turn, we can share that love with other people, that patience that he has for us. We can share it. That forgiveness he has for us. We can start to share that. Maybe today there are many emotions in this building. We need our Father, and we need to be honest before him, to allow the past, the surface of our beings, to allow him into them, to allow him to heal us, to heal our wounds, to heal our losses, to come alongside us in our hurts. My prayer this Sunday is that each one of us might truly know God. And that from there we might be able to pour out and share that love to one another. I wonder if there's someone in your family today who needs that cleansing touch of a foot washing. Not a real foot washing, that'd be pretty grim in our culture, wouldn't it? People would be like, get off me. But it's that sense that actually we need to forgive. We need to pour out that water of healing. We need to let go of the dirt and the grime that's built up between us. It might be a parent. It might be a spouse or a child. It might be your in-laws. It might be a friend or an acquaintance. I wonder if there's someone in your network who needs a flood of tears. Not that we weep all over them and wipe them with our hair again. I don't think you'd get much appreciation for doing it. But actually, that coming alongside someone who's really hurting, that they know that you truly care. Is there someone in your life that needs that extra bit of love today to help them as they travel a hard path in their lives? I wonder if there's people that you can reach out to who need the perfume that poured over them. Again, not literally, but are there people, children, your family, your friends, which need a blessing, which you can be the answer to their prayer, that you can bless them? I pray that today each one of us would pause in our lives, that we would allow God's Spirit to retouch us, that we might truly know his forgiveness and his love in our own hearts. And as we experience that incredible touch of God, that we might be those people that leave here and make a difference in our community, in our families, in our world, to touch the lives of those around us. Do you know God loves you this morning? Do you know his forgiveness? Do you know that he delights in you? You put a smile on his face. Isn't that a lovely picture? When he looks at you, he smiles. Therefore, go and love your neighbour as you love yourself. Amen.